So, Lord, we pray that you'll take the strain and the stress from our lives and help us to find your peace, Lord, now and always. Amen. Please sit down. Now, as Catherine has already said, this is the fourth, well, she didn't actually say it was the fourth, but I'm telling you, it's the fourth in the series of Creation Tide. And we've looked at small seeds, big trees, dying and living seeds, living water. And this morning, Jesus teaches us about God's provision through the simple yet profound examples of the flowers and the birds. These everyday elements of creation carry deep lessons about faith and reliance on our Heavenly Father. However, the main point this morning for me is when Jesus said, "Don't worry." Because whilst looking at all that God has given us in nature, we also need to remember that we need to look after ourselves as well. And worrying doesn't help our health. Now, I have to say, I feel a bit of a hypocrite this morning, because I'm probably the last person that should talk about worry. Just ask my wife. Unfortunately, I seem to worry about anything, and I can worry about not having anything to worry about. In fact, and there was somebody in the 9 o'clock service who said she would join me in this one, if there was an Olympic medal for worrying, I think I could get a gold medal. And I realise it's not a good thing, and I try very hard to prevent it and practice what I preach. Now, there was a guy who decided to employ someone to do the worrying for him. He agreed he'd pay the person a salary of £100,000. When the person was appointed, they asked the employer, "How do I raise the £100,000? The employer said, "That's your worry, not mine." Now, we had two readings this morning. The first one was Psalm 103, and then from Luke 12. And if you want to, you might find it helpful to have a Bible open with your finger in both passages. Now, we've said at times that sometimes it's difficult to see how one reading fits with the other. And I must admit, when I first looked at Psalm 103, I thought, wow, how does that fit with Luke? Now, after a bit of research, I think I've got some links. You tell me what you think at the end. Now, it's thought that David wrote Psalm 103 when he was getting on in years. The background of the psalm is unclear, but what is clear is a desire on the part of David to praise God for all that he's done. He speaks of God's personal blessings, his forgiving love, and he ends with a universal call for all believers to praise the Lord. So in verse 19, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Nothing happens in the world that's beyond God's knowledge and power." Verses 8 to 12 describe God as a merciful God, slow to anger. It also states that God doesn't deal with people according to their sins, that he removes transgressions from people as far as the east is from the west. It could be said that by worrying, we're not trusting God as we should. Verse 13 says that the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Just as the father shows compassion to his children, just as God gives the plants and looks after the birds of the air, so he looks after us. Verse 14 states that God knows people's form and is mindful that we're just dust. He knows the frailty of our nature, that at times we behave as if nothing's happened, and that we are at times tested and worry probably too much at times. So Psalm 103 is considered an individual hymn of thanksgiving where a single voice praises God for his goodness. So now we move on to look at the passage from Luke. Firstly, the example of the birds. Jesus begins by drawing our attention to the ravens, symbol of God's creation and dependence on God. In the UK, the raven is famous for being the imposing all-black bird that guards the Tower of London and can at times be confused with rooks and crows. And I suspect that the ravens in the Tower of London are the best kept and the best fed birds that there are. They have a raven master who looks after them, they breed from them, and although I did see in a series the other day that one of the ravens went AWOL and they never got it back. So where it went, we don't know. Now, the wild birds live in forests, uplands and coastal areas in the north and in the UK and the west of the UK. And there are about 12,000 nesting pairs in the UK. Now, ravens, like all other birds, do not engage in agricultural labour or store provisions, yet they're fed. Ravens are so often seen as common and even insignificant, yet God ensures that they're cared for. And if God, who values us far more than these birds, provides for them, how much more will he provide for us? Jesus challenges us to consider the futility of worry. Worry doesn't add to our lives. It only distracts us from trusting in God's provision. When we're anxious, we're essentially doubting God's ability or willingness to provide for our needs. Jesus is reminding us that if God takes care of these birds, he certainly has our back. And speaking of worry, we need to remember how ridiculous it is. Worrying is like rocking in a rocking chair. It keeps us busy, but it doesn't get us anywhere. By focusing on the ravens, Jesus reminds us that our values in God's eyes is immense, and his care for us is unwavering. Then secondly, the beauty of the flowers. Now, Jesus may not have had a definite flower in mind, although in the Bible we read Jesus talks of the lilies. But maybe he was thinking of the wonderful blooms that adorn the fields in Galilee. Not just beautiful, but they have a fleeting beauty here today and gone tomorrow. Yet despite their brief existence, they're dressed in splendour that surpasses all of Solomon's royal attire. This is a profound statement about God's attention to detail and care. The flower's splendour is a testament to God's creativity and generosity. If he lavishes such beauty on something so transient, how much more will he provide for us, who are eternal in his eyes? Jesus uses this illustration to challenge our understanding of value and provision. If God takes care of the flowers, how much more would he take care for us? Then thirdly, seeking the kingdom. Jesus then shifts the focus from physical needs to spiritual priorities. He tells us to seek the kingdom of God first. It's like telling us to find hidden treasure in a scavenger hunt. When we focus on seeking God's kingdom, everything else falls into place. It's like a divine GPS system. When we're on the right path, everything else just seems to come together. This means prioritizing our relationship with God above our material concerns. When we align our hearts with God's kingdom, our perspective changes. We see our needs from a place of trust rather than fear. The kingdom of God is about a relationship with our Heavenly Father, a relationship where we recognize that he is our ultimate provider. When we seek his kingdom, we're assured that our needs will be met. This trust transforms our approach to life. We need to live with open hands rather than clenched fists. When we prioritize God, we're not only in the right direction, but we also get the benefit of having our needs met along the way. And then treasures in heaven. Jesus speaks about treasures in heaven. He contrasts temporary earthly possessions with eternal pleasures. It's like the ultimate saving account. Only it's not just about pounds and pence. It's about investing in what really matters: faith, love, and generosity. And unlike our regular bank account, it won't get hacked. The advice to sell possessions and give to the poor is not just about generosity. It's about shifting our focus from temporary security to eternal significance. Where we invest our resources reflects where our heart is. If our treasure is in heavenly things, faith, love, and service, then our hearts are aligned with God's values. This alignment brings us peace and assurance, and our lives are secure in Him, regardless of our material circumstances. So in Luke 12, Jesus offers us a profound lesson in trust and priorities. By observing the birds and the flowers, we're reminded of God's provision and care. Our worries, no matter how valid they seem, are met with the assurance of God's constant attention to our needs. So let's then embrace life, the life of faith, trusting in God's provision and demonstrated through His creation. Let's seek His kingdom first, knowing that everything else will follow, and let's store up treasures in heaven where our hearts will find true and everlasting peace. If God can handle the needs of the birds and the beauty of the flowers, He's more than capable of taking care of us. So next time we see a raven or any sort of flower, we need to remember that we're in good hands and we're in God's hands. We need to trust God's provision, seek His kingdom first, and store up treasures that really last. We need to remember that where our treasure is, there our heart will be as well. So finally, we can worry or we can pray, but we can't do both. We need to practice as best we can to put God in front of all. Putting God in front of all these worries should prove to be a helpful and calming practice. Grace looks amazing on us when we put God first. Amen.